Our Father in heaven, we are glad that we can be gathered as your children to worship you, to express our love for you, our gratitude toward you. Thank you for all that you have done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the provision of the scriptures. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who guides us, who teaches us your ways. And we pray that you be pleased to be in our midst this day, and you may have the freedom to speak to us, to help us to have a clearer appreciation of who you are and how you desire us to live our lives on earth. We commit this time to your hands, in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject, the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 156th message, and the subtopic for today, positive and negative sensitivities. Positive and negative sensitivities. Today I wish to continue with what I considered with you in the last message on response to God and God's call, and how the posture of God and truth is lived out in practical situations and our relationship with people. These messages can, on the one hand, help us to have a clearer appreciation of what it means to align our heart with this posture. It can also help us to understand whether we have truly aligned our hearts with this posture. I mentioned that how the posture is lived out in practical situations and our relationship with people would include also the context of fellowship amongst the brethren, in various other contexts like working life, family relationships, and so on. And as believers, we need to recognize that people are at the very heart of the outworking of God's purposes. And even though there can be many difficulties and at times frustrations, we must learn to understand people and to relate with people and to understand how God wants us to relate with people. In the course of all these various interactions and encounters, it's not uncommon for believers at times, and at sometimes not just on an occasion, but even for a whole period in their lives, to feel very disturbed, or even angry, or miserable, discouraged, frustrated, bitter. And some situations can be extremely difficult, bearing in mind also that the evil one is actively at work, and it's very easy for the evil one to attack and create significant problems in human relationships, including fellowship amongst the brethren. And in this regard, a believer may at times find himself fighting a losing battle, even as he tries to overcome these negative responses. He knows these responses are not good, but he finds it difficult to overcome. And this is also the experience of Christian workers and missionaries, who may at times find themselves unable to be delivered from such a plight. It is important for believers to learn to overcome such negative responses, as they are detrimental to our spiritual health, our walk with God, and also our service for Him. If we align our hearts with the posture of God and truth, it is feasible to respond well and to experience freedom from these negative responses. At the same time, we need to recognize that beyond overcoming the negative responses, the posture of God and truth is basically positive in nature and concentrates on the positive. That is, our appropriate response to God in the light of His bountiful provisions, the many assurances in the Scriptures, and the truth that He has revealed to us in the Scriptures, that we are setting our hearts to work towards positive goals and a bright future. And this bright future is not just the way people frequently use this expression, which even non-believers may use it, bright future. But for Christians, it is really working towards a bright future in their working of God's purposes that culminates in the wonderful, enduring realities in God's eternal kingdom. In eternity, it is indeed a bright future. And how we live our lives will make a difference to what it will be in eternity, as well as how we spend eternity. So for today, I want to concentrate on the issue of positive and negative sensitivities. It's important to recognize and distinguish two kinds of sensitivities, negative and positive sensitivities. We must learn to deal with negative sensitivities and seek to nurture positive sensitivities. If we do not distinguish the two, we may weaken or even nullify the positive kind while trying to eradicate the negative sensitivities. And positive sensitivities are very helpful and important. If we want to be faithful to the Lord, to have a good relationship with God, to live well for Him, to relate well with people, and to live out our lives effectively in line with the posture of God and truth. I'll now go on to consider with you negative sensitivity. By negative sensitivity, I'm referring to the failure to respond well to the negative comments and what we perceive as negative conduct of others and unfair treatment that we are subjected to. I mentioned what we perceive is because that's how we perceive it. It may be true, it may at times not even be accurate. That is, there is this negative effect and reaction within us. We feel hurt, and we may be angry, unhappy, miserable, or even depressed. And we may react negatively to the person or situation, at times even quite violently. Our posture is shaken. We have difficulty responding to people and situations in the way God desires of us. And this is the critical issue. Because at the crux of it, it has to do with how God desires us to respond. And we are unable to respond in the way God desires of us. The peace and the joy of God fades away. Our walk with God and our relationship with Him is adversely affected, and our spirit is negatively affected. As believers, we know we need to deal with the negative sensitivities. We do not want to be adversely affected. We do not want to feel hurt, upset, unhappy, or miserable. However, at times we do not know how to deal with the negative sensitivities appropriately. It is not uncommon for people in such context to activate their defense mechanism so that they will not feel hurt. And one way is what we can term as indifference. That is, be dead to the comments and conduct of others so that we will not be hurt. Learn not to feel anything. Whatever they may say, whatever they may do, we feel nothing. Like a stone. Or don't pay attention to them. Ignore them. Shut off. Or don't think about the matter. When we think about it, we become adversely affected. So don't think about it. Don't bother. Don't care. And at times, a believer may be unable to cope. So you may say it can't be helped. He has to do this. Otherwise, he may have a breakdown. But if we just don't think about it, ignore, don't pay attention, we will not be able to function well in the way God desires of us. Or some will try to keep a distance from people And there are those who do this not just on a particular occasion. Some people, they will continue to keep a distance from them. And some people even try to keep a distance from people in general. At times, literally, keep a distance. But at times, figuratively. By figuratively, I mean, they may relate with you. They may even joke and laugh with you. But they are keeping a distance in the sense that they will not allow deep relationships to develop. Otherwise, they can be deeply hurt. So they don't let others know much about them at a deeper level. Superficial talk, yes, laugh and joke, do many things together. But the deeper things in their lives, in their hearts, they will keep to themselves so that they will not be vulnerable. You can say they erect a shield around them so that they cannot be stabbed. And being stabbed can be very, very painful. At times, fatal. Usually figuratively. But it can be very, very painful. So they erect a shield around them. If we do not approach this area of problem properly, then our lives can become distorted and unwholesome. Various negative feelings are suppressed, bottled up. Issues are unresolved. And we fail to respond to people and to situations in the way God desires of us. Our being cannot function properly and develop properly. So we must learn to deal with the negative sensitivity in the right way, not by becoming indifferent to what is going on, or to ignore, not to pay attention, don't care, learn not to feel anything, keep a distance from people. These are not solutions in a healthy way, consistent with biblical revelation. The true solution lies in the practical application and outworking of the posture of God and truth. If we truly align our heart with this posture and we know how to work out, we can be delivered. We can find true solution and liberation in the Lord. No matter what situation we go through, no matter how people may treat us, the answer lies in responding to the situation on the basis of God and truth. And situations include people, their comments, and their conduct. Remember, the foundational basis and primary motivation of our lives is God and truth, if we have aligned our heart with the posture. The foundational basis and primary motivation of our hearts and our lives is God and truth, not the conduct and comments of people. That means, no matter how people, what people may say and do or comment, we continue to seek to be faithful to God, to understand how God wants us to respond, and whether we do or not do something, it's not on the basis of what people say and comment. And when we do something, it's not just always waiting for comments from others, whether we say positive comments, or approval, or praise, or worse, flattery from people. Yes, there's a place where we can appreciate those who have benefited from our lives and they do show appreciation sincerely. But at the heart of it, what motivates us is not that people will say this or that, but that we want to be faithful to God and to fulfill what He desires of us. So our primary concern is whether our lives are consistent with the will of God and the truth He has revealed in the scriptures as well as in our daily lives, and not the conduct and the comments of others. We maintain the posture by concentrating on how God desires us to respond rather than the comments and conduct of others, though we take them into consideration. That is, we do not ignore the comments of others. We do take them into consideration, but they are not the basis for how we live our lives. So what if people make negative comments about us, hurting remarks? When people make such comments about us, our response ought to be to sincerely examine them, whether there's any truth in what is said. Even if it's not totally accurate, sometimes we just quickly dismiss it because it is said in an exaggerated form, or we not totally agree with what is said. But we should examine and see whether there's any truth in what is said, even if it is not totally accurate. And to consider before the Lord in what way we may need to change so that our lives will be more aligned with what God desires of us, including what we can learn from the remarks and response of others, even if the remarks are not pleasant to our ears. That is, we concentrate on whatever God wants us to learn from the conduct and the remarks, even if unpleasant. And our hearts are thankful for what we can learn in the situation. So, for example, others may say, or someone may say, you are very selfish. And especially when it's said emphatically, and worse, if they say in front of other people, many people will feel very hurt, including Christians, and difficult to respond properly. Yes, you may feel very hurt by the remark, but you should pause and ponder whether there's some truth in that remark, even if it's not to the degree that the person says it. And if there is, and we do something about it, then it is helpful for our lives. That is how we respond in line with the truth, in line with what God desires of us. He wants us to learn from the many different contexts that we go through, including unpleasant situations, not just pleasant ones. So we need not feel miserable or upset, even if others have misunderstood us. There's no truth at all in what they say. Even if they've misunderstood us, or they say untrue and unkind remarks about us, or they treat us badly, we need not feel miserable or upset. Why? Because what others do and say do not determine our well-being, nor our true state. Our true state is not just determined by what people say of us. They say you are a terrible fellow, you are very selfish, then that means we are selfish. We say they tell us we are very considerate, you are very kind, that means we are very kind. No. What really matters is our true state. And that is what we must concentrate upon. So that is, what counts is the truth. And how God looks at us. That is what counts. In fact, if we constantly hear people commending us, and we feel very happy, we may be in a very dangerous position. Because there may be many things in our lives that are not good. And we keep thinking we are all right. And then we fail to recognize the steps that we need to take. And that can be a significant hindrance to our positive development. And a very important truth that we need to take note of is that the conducts and the remarks of others, of others, in whatever shape or form, that it may come, they cannot harm us unless we respond negatively. Whatever people say and do, they will not harm us. They cannot harm us unless we respond negatively. But the moment we respond negatively, yes, there will be damage to our being. And that is the issue. So we concentrate on responding positively. That doesn't mean we have to agree with whatever people comment about us. But we want to understand the truth and how God actually looks at it, how God looks at us, and how He wants us to respond. So we concentrate on how the Lord would want us to respond, and if we do that, it will be well with us. We must constantly live with this conviction. That is what counts. And concentrating on how the Lord would want us to respond would include whether it is feasible and helpful to try to clear up any misunderstanding and correct what is not accurate or not true. Notice I say whether it is feasible, as well as whether it's helpful. Sometimes it's not feasible to clarify, to clear up the misunderstanding. Sometimes it is feasible, but not helpful. So we must not insist on it. If it's not feasible, it is all right. If it's feasible but not helpful, don't pursue it. But if it is feasible and helpful, there is a place to try to clear up misunderstandings, correct what is not accurate and not true. Not because we feel that it is so important we must correct that thing, otherwise we cannot carry on joyfully and have a heart of peace. That must not be the reason. The reason must be because it is helpful in the situation to clarify, to sort out. And at times, in many of these contexts, especially relationship amongst the brethren, but even with non-believers, there's a place to clarify, to reduce misunderstandings where feasible and helpful. So in this way, in this approach, we bring our negative sensitivities into subjection by doing our part on the basis of God and truth. That means we deal with the negative sensitivities. People and what they say, if it is not in accordance with the truth, should not affect us and rob us of our peace and joy. Not only should not, we must understand that if we properly appreciate the posture of God and truth, remember, the basis and the source of true joy and peace is in the Lord and not people or situations. So when we align our heart with the posture of God and truth and we're walking with the Lord, then there ought to be peace and joy at all times. It's not dependent on situations and people, their conduct, their comments. Not that we're indifferent to people and what they say. So if what others say has elements of truth in it, we learned from the remarks by taking appropriate steps, and we maintained our peace and joy in the Lord. Why I say that is, sometimes what people say are not true. So we may say, yes, it need not affect our peace and joy in the Lord. But what if what they say is true, or has elements of truth in it? They say the way we behave is not good, or we're inconsiderate, we are selfish, and so, and there are elements of truth in it. Then does it mean our peace and joy should evaporate? Yes, we will not have peace and joy in a true sense if there are negative things within our hearts, but we refuse to acknowledge them, or we recognize them and we refuse to correct them. But if what people say is true and the negative things within us, then we recognize them, we learn from it, we take steps, we acknowledge them before the Lord and we ask the Lord to help us, then we can carry on our lives and our walk with God and continue in joy and peace in our walk with God. So true peace and joy in the Lord is in the context of a faithful walk with God. It doesn't mean we do not falter and fail, but we are sincere. We truly love the Lord. We seek to know Him, His will, and seek to walk in it. And when we do fail, we want to recognize it, we want to know it, and we will respond positively and take steps accordingly. However, some of us may be so afflicted with a spiritual illness of negative sensitivity that even those who love us and care for us do not have the freedom to speak the truth, even with love, to us. With regards to aspects of our lives that they are concerned about, whether it be our words, conduct, or attitude, or any perceived deficiencies. I mention perceived deficiencies because it may be true, it may not be true, but they are concerned, they see these things, but they do not have the freedom to speak to us. Even if they were to do so prayerfully, even when they exercise care in what they say, still they may not have the freedom to speak to us because they perceive we will not take it well. We may feel hurt and we are unlikely to respond positively. And if that is true, then it is a sad state of affairs. It is not good for us. I mentioned some of us may be so afflicted with this spiritual weakness or spiritual illness of negative sensitivity of this nature. Well, if I put it a bit strong, and we may like to think that very few of us are afflicted with such a terrible spiritual illness. But in reality, actually, many of us have this illness. Many of us. Many may have the freedom to share with us joyful tidings, things that we like to hear. But to point out to us our deficiencies, maybe in some areas, but where they can really freely do that at all times, in all issues, how many of us are able to truly respond well? Yes, there are some who may smile and try to put on a bold face and try to appear they are responding positively, but inside, and that is what counts. How many are able to really respond well and look to the Lord and able to receive well, and if truly their deficiencies, able then to recognize it and be thankful that there are those who care for us, who will point out to us. Yes, there are those who say, if there's anything wrong in life, please tell me. I would appreciate it. When people tell you that, don't always take it literally. If you do that, at times it may end up, you have someone who used to be close to you, you may have many, many years of strained relationship. Especially certain areas they are particularly sensitive about. But it ought not to be this way. And brethren who love, sincerely love, care for one another, we must work towards increasing freedom to help one another, to share with one another in this way. But yes, those who do that must not be presumptuous. That's why if you perceive weakness in others, do not conclude it is. You may have misunderstood. Yes, there's a place to be careful, to be tactful, to say gently, and to say in a way that is not so difficult for others to receive it. But it will be good if more and more brethren can have the freedom to share with one another in this way. And that is true fellowship. Fellowship in the Lord and in the truth. So it is important to resolve this deficiency of negative sensitivity. Where it is present, it is a manifestation of deficiency in aligning our heart with the posture. And it will hinder our growth, our relationship with others, as well as effectiveness in service. Some biblical examples, or I'll just briefly mention two biblical examples of failure to respond well, and then two positive examples. One example, which in times past I've also referred to, is King Uzziah, or Uzziah. King Uzziah, he fed well in the early years of his reign, and God helped him. But when he became strong, he became proud. He entered the temple to burn incense, which was not proper for him to do. And when he was rebuked by the priest for his wrongdoing, instead of acknowledging his wrongdoing and repenting, King Uzziah reacted negatively. He became enraged and he was smitten with leprosy by the Lord. So quickly, I'll just read through some of these portions, relevant portions, in the 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Verses 3 to 5. I will not read all the words, but just read some of the more relevant parts. Verse 3 tells us Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. Verse 4 tells us he did right in the sight of the Lord. And verse 5 tells us as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. And the verses that follow shows us how God helped him significantly. Then verses 16 to 21 tells us, and this is the part that we want to pay more attention to. Verse 16, when he became strong, 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16, when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So here is not one who was basically bad, faring very badly. He was faring well. But he became proud. So there was not good. And there was this specific occasion when he was unfaithful. He went to burn incense on the altar of incense in the temple, and he was not supposed to do that. And let's see what happened. Verse 17. Ezra the priest entered after him, and with him 80 priests. Verse 18. The opposed Uzziah, Uzziah the king, and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. It was wrong of him. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and will have no honor from the Lord God. Verse 19. But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, he was still holding the censer, he was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priest, the leprosy broke out on his forehead. But the scriptures didn't stop there. It's made clear that it was not coincidental. It was judgment from God. Verse 20, the last part, they hurried him out of there, and he himself also hastened to get out because the Lord has smitten him. He was wrong, he was rebuked, but instead of repenting, he reacted negatively. And verse 21 tells us King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, lived in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. It's very sad. So we may be walking meaningfully with the Lord. It doesn't mean it will continue this way if there are deficiencies, but we refuse to respond properly. If others speak to us and react negatively, the outcome can be very serious. Likewise, for King Asa, he also initially fared well, but subsequently he failed to trust the Lord in the war against Baasha, the king of Israel. And he was rebuked by the prophet Hanani. And like Uzziah, instead of acknowledging his failure and repenting, Asa also reacted angrily and imprisoned Hanani. We can refer to 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and 16. I will not go into this passage. In other messages, I've examined this more fully with you. I now want to go on to positive examples. We'll look at two. One is the Apostle Peter. If you read through the Gospels, you'll find that the Apostle Peter failed and failed again. In fact, it's almost as if so frequently, whenever you see him, you're just anxiously waiting whether he's going to fail. Peter failed many times. And he was rebuked many times by the Lord Jesus for his failures. And not just by the Lord Jesus, he was also publicly rebuked by the Apostle Paul. And yet, though Peter kept failing, he kept growing. Why? One major reason is that he did not react negatively, even when he was rebuked, even in front of others. He responded well. He learned from his failures, and he continued to grow well. I have examined this and covered this in detail in 5 messages, AR107 to 111. And I personally think that this series of messages is very helpful for our learning from this character, Peter. I now want to go on to the next positive example, our perfect example, the Lord Jesus. We know the Lord Jesus is the perfect Son of God, and yet he was misunderstood. And I deliberately choose this example because for Uzziah, Asa, Peter, you are referring to failures. So they were rebuked. But here was the Lord Jesus. He was perfect in his words, in his conduct. And not only was he rebuked, he was terribly treated. He was misunderstood. He was unfairly treated. He was mocked. He was reviled. He was spat upon. He was scourged. And finally, he was crucified on the cross. And they were doing all these terrible things to the Son of God. And yet, in the midst of all the improper treatment he received and all the terrible things they did to him, the Lord Jesus never reacted negatively. Not only did not react negatively. Instead, he maintained his composure, his dignity, and he resolutely submitted himself to the perfect will of God in a spirit of meekness. And he continued steadfastly in the midst of all these terrible things being done to him to continue to fulfill the part God desired of him. And we are exhorted to follow his example. And the study of the life of the Lord Jesus is very, very enriching and rewarding. In particular, how the Lord Jesus continually manifested the beauty of true dignity. Sometimes when we are terribly treated, ridiculed, mocked, badly treated by others, it may seem very difficult to maintain dignity. We feel that we are losing our dignity. That is not true if you know how to respond and you do respond properly. And the study of the life of Lord Jesus is the best way to help us to see these issues clearly. And how the Lord Jesus maintained and manifested the beauty of true dignity, as well as the whole subject of true dignity, has also been covered in detail in six messages, AR 160 to 165. You help us to have a more accurate understanding of what is true dignity. Many have wrong notions of what is true dignity. And the beauty of true dignity must flow forth from the realities within. And when the realities within are in the proper place and we respond accordingly, then true beauty of dignity will be manifested. And it is helpful to recognize the more terribly treated you are, the more misunderstood, the more unfair and improper the treatment, and you can maintain your composure and remain true to God, the more powerful and the more glorious the manifestation of the beauty of true dignity in your life. And also recognizing that it is only possible because of your dependence on God, your faith in God, and God's enabling by His Spirit. So it's actually the glory of God being manifested in our lives. And at the same time, our being growing significantly in the process. If you learn how to view the meaning of these things that we go through in this way, then it becomes not only feasible to go through difficult times well, we will find difficult times very meaningful times to go through with the Lord. But it is difficult, and it can be extremely difficult. So quickly, a passage that I from time to time refer to in this area, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to 24. Last part of verse 20 in 1 Peter chapter 2. If when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. So it must be when you're doing right. Then you continue to patiently carry on. That is the will of God, you carry on. Then it finds favor with God, and you can say the blessings of God will go together with it. Then Peter says, for you have been called for this purpose. Don't be surprised. This is part of your calling as a child of God. since Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example for you to follow in His steps. As you read through the scriptures, the gospels, the life of Lord Jesus, we are to follow this example. He committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth, verse 22. Verse 23, and while being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats. Not because He was weak, but because He was truly strong. And this is a manifestation of true meekness. Verse 23, but He kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. The Lord Jesus, His primary concentration is on being faithful to God, and He entrusts His life to God, His faith in God the Father, whatever He may go through. And that's how we should live, constantly conscious of God. Remember, I mentioned the praising message as well as a continuing theme in this message. A basic approach of our lives should be response to God and God's call, a consciousness of God, dependence on God, and to be true to God, and entrusting our lives to Him. And then verse 24 says, He bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by His wounds you were healed. So the suffering in our walk with God has a purpose, has a meaning, has a direction that is very, very positive for the Lord Jesus as well as for us. And you will bring healing, you will bring beneficial results in the lives of others. By His wounds you were healed. We benefited from what He went through in His suffering and climaxing at the cross. Paul also tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the principle of death working in the lives of those who are faithful to God, God's servants. Principle of death and then life being ministered to others. I'll now go on to positive sensitivity. By positive sensitivity, I'm referring to our sensitivity to people, to situations, including what the evil one is doing, and ultimately and most importantly to God. And this sensitivity is very important, and they enable us, they help us to recognize, to discern what is taking place. So this includes what is taking place, to discern what's going on in a person's heart, and also how a person feels, how he's going through or responding to situations, and his response to remarks made by others, including remarks made by you, and his relationship with you, how you're relating with him, what is happening within the person. Now in this regard, bear in mind, we never attain to perfect understanding. Only God sees everything. But we must grow to become more and more discerning. And we can. I'll mention briefly afterwards how we can nurture this. But it is critical. We must develop this. Then, what is taking place in the situation? The situations that we go through, to discern what is actually taking place. Not just the outward appearance of things, but what is really taking place. How God sees the situation. Then, the activities of the forces of darkness. Often Christians are not very conscious of the forces of darkness at work and do not recognize what is taking place. It's helpful so that we can take our stand to counter the attacks of the evil one for our own lives as well as for the lives of others. And Paul tells us we are not to be ignorant of the wiles of the evil one. And ultimately, most important, we want to learn to discern, to recognize, to be sensitive, to understand what God desires to accomplish in the situation as well as the longer term, the vision ahead. What God is doing in the situation. God is actively at work also in the situation. And what He wants us to learn and how He wants us to respond and what He may be saying to us in that situation. Often the Lord is speaking to us, but we can't hear. We are not sensitive to what He is trying to communicate to us. So positive sensitivity enables us to discern the moral and spiritual meaning of what is taking place rather than just the outward appearance of things, the visible. We learn to recognize what is taking place in the realm of the invisible, and it enables us to respond well. It's a lifelong lesson, learning in this area, and we must learn to become more and more able to recognize, to discern. And when you discern accurately, it will help us to know how to respond. Because if you do not know what is going on, how do you respond well? Difficult. As well as to say and to do what is appropriate, what builds up. Your intentions may be good, but you misunderstand the person. The person may be feeling very miserable, but you think he's very happy. and you can say things that are very inappropriate. The person may actually be quite positive in the situation, but you think that he is quite negative. So the way you respond to him is not appropriate. And it can be the other way around. He may be quite a terrible person, and you think he is very nice, he's very good. And the way you respond can be very inappropriate. You also enable effective communication. The person you're talking to may be feeling very miserable, but outwardly doesn't show a lot. But actually, if you're listening, you can recognize. But you're insensitive. Then you say various things that's not appropriate for the person. Or at first, you are not so aware, not so obvious. But as you go on, it should be very obvious. But you are still oblivious to how the person feels and feeling very hurt. And you just still keep going on. And it's not helpful to the person. It's because you don't know. You don't recognize. And some of us can be very poor in these areas. That is not thing it doesn't matter. It matters. And they can be learned. It's very helpful for good relationship. Effective service. In a certain situation, many who are present may be very anxious, troubled, disturbed, thinking the situation is very bad. But someone who is healthy and discerning may see the situation quite differently. That meaningful things are taking place. In another situation, many may be laughing away, joking, laughing, thinking all is fine. But if you are prayerful and discerning, we may realize that God is very displeased with what is going on. And it's not appropriate for us to join in that kind of way. So it's important to recognize, to understand, to discern what actually is going on. Well, having heard that all these are important, then how? How to nurture positive sensitivity? That would be important, isn't it? I'll just make some brief comments. Important to nurture positive sensitivity, how? One major aspect is to recognize the importance of nurturing a healthy spirit. And a healthy spirit can be nurtured. The other is learning to understand people. Not always easy, and for some of us, more difficult. But we must learn. We cannot say, I don't like. I'm not comfortable. I just concentrate on reading the scriptures, praying, caring for people but from a distance. No. God wants us to learn to relate with people. And we go through situations. He doesn't want us to live high up on the mountain just by ourselves. We have to live in this world to relate with people, and so we need to understand people. And people is at the very heart of the fulfillment and the working of God's purposes, whether we Christians or non-Christians. And we cannot just relate with people, respond to people on the basis of how it appears outwardly. So we need to understand people. And human beings are very complex. It's very helpful. And we can and we must learn to understand people, including learning to understand ourselves. And many of us do not quite understand ourselves. It's good to learn also to understand ourselves, how God looks at us. And there are many things He may want to tell us so that we can respond well. And very important, a heart which cares rather than indifference. That's why I mentioned, cannot be indifferent just because you don't want to be hurt. If you love, you cannot say, I love, but from a distance. If you truly love, you must also be prepared to relate as God desires of us. And one of the most effective ways to learn to understand people is when you really care for a person and not just a concept to you. Your heart really cares. And that would then mean you care, you truly love, you truly care, you will learn to pay attention to the thoughts and to the feelings of others. Not just you just act, you just say, but you are not paying attention to what is taking place in the hearts of others. So you pay attention. That is, you seek to understand and to learn what you can and asking the Lord to help you. And not just paying attention and just observing the outward. You then learn to discern what is going on in the heart of people. And if you approach in this way, with passing time, looking throughout the teachers, we learn to discern. Another aspect that is very helpful is when there's growing knowledge of the truth, including the moral and spiritual principles operating, and learning how people live out their lives in real-life situations. Yes, need to be exercise some care, but observing, relating with people, and God placed many of us in many situations of life. And sometimes you wonder why God placed us in this situation. So many of these people, their attitude, their character, not good. And we feel very put off. But many of these situations are very helpful for our learning, to understand people. But yes, we need to exercise care. And there are some people whom it is better for us to keep a distance. That is true at times. But there are many contexts that God has placed us in where He wants us to learn in the midst of interacting with all kinds of people, including very kind and considerate people as well as nasty people and people who scheme. Then learning to understand, to discern the forces of darkness at work and how they work. In our own learning, in the scriptures, through messages, and so on. Then, a very major aspect, of course, is our relationship with God. When we nurture our relationship with God, and we learn to understand His ways, then we will learn to be discerning and more able to recognize what God wants us to learn, as well as God helping us to understand people and the situations. And very importantly, in the situations that we go through, as we interact with people, we must be prayerful. We must be alert. And we often talk about these things. We also pray about these things. But it must become a reality in our lives. That we are prayerful, looking to the Lord to understand what is going on. Looking to the Lord to help us understand people. And even in the midst of the interaction, what is going on and how to proceed further or to stop. As I said, only God sees everything perfectly. We don't. So do not be deterred just because sometimes we do make mistakes. But if you are sincere in seeking to work at it in this way, that is what God would appreciate, and He will help us. And with passing time, we will learn, we will grow. So very importantly, an active seeking to learn from the Lord in the real life situations He sees fit for us to go through. And this should be a familiar phrase to you. Often during prayer meetings, we often urge prayer along these directions, that we are sensitive to the Lord, to learn from the Lord in the different situations we go through. So quickly, briefly, biblical examples and illustrations. The first one, Elisha and the plight of the Shunammite woman. And this record illustrates the discerning of what is in the heart of a person and the appropriate response. It's also, this record also manifests lack of positive sensitivity by Gehazi and positive sensitivity of Elisha. Because of time, I cannot go into detail, although this is a passage that we seldom refer to. In fact, I'm not so clear. I may not have referred to this passage at all before. The Shunammite woman and her husband had been providing food and shelter for Elisha. And their son fell ill and died, and she came to Elisha for help. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 25 to 27. The child died, and this woman, very deeply concerned for the dead child, and yet at the same time, hoping Elisha, the man of God, can do something about it. So verse 25 tells us, she went and she came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. So she arrived there. And when Elisha, the man of God, saw her at a distance, he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Behold, there is the Shunammite. Please run now to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?'" And she answered, "It is well." So that's how she answered, "It is well." Then verse 27 says, when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught hold of his feet, and Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is troubled within her. And the Lord has hidden it from me, and has not told me." Notice the woman, when inquired, whether is it well with her, with the husband, with the child. She answered, it is well, so everything is okay. But it's not the truth. So she was deeply troubled within her, and she came, but Gehazi pushed her away. When she came near to Elisha and she caught hold of his feet, Gehazi pushed her away because he was not sensitive. Gehazi was not sensitive to this woman and the plight that she was in, and the appropriate response to her. But Elisha told her, let her alone. Her soul is troubled within her. Although she said it is well, but Elisha could discern. He recognized. And notice the following words. Very interesting. He says, the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. And if you read through the story of Elisha, you see that God can speak to Elisha in very clear ways. Tell him various things. But he says, in this instance, he says, something has happened to this Shunammite woman. And Elisha says, I do not know. Because God didn't tell me. And yet, Elisha could discern, could recognize that she was troubled in her soul, even though she says, it is well. So it's illustration that Elisha was discerning. Here was a troubled woman, even though she said, it is well. And we can also learn to be understanding, discerning, sensitive to people around us as we relate to them. Well, just a very brief comment, because I say not a lot of time, but just for interest. Elisha says, the Lord has hidden it from me, and yet Elisha could discern that she was troubled. So one way of looking at it is to say that, oh, Elisha was able to discern, so it was Elisha. But true discerning, we know, must be in fellowship with God. So Elisha must have been prayerful, looking to the Lord, and his life is positive. So God helped him to recognize, to discern. But at the same time, Elisha says, God has hidden it from me. So what is that? Did God hide it from Elisha? Or did God help Elisha to recognize? From what I can see here, the meaning is this, that Elisha is saying, God has hidden it from me, in the sense that God did not tell Elisha what actually is troubling, or what has taken place. In this instance, the boy has died. So God didn't tell Elisha. So in that sense, hidden it from him. But not that God was not helping Elisha to discern, to recognize what was going on. Because man, on our own, we cannot properly discern and understand and recognize things. They'll be walking according to the flesh. So in one sense, God had hidden it from him. In another sense, God has also helped Elisha to discern that this woman was troubled in her heart. Very briefly, quickly, the next one, the woman who broke the alabaster vial. Mark chapter 14, verses 1 to 9. I've also examined this in detail in a message on appearance and reality. I will not go into detail, but just quickly mention some things here relevant to what we are considering today. We see in this passage manifestation of lack of positive sensitivity by many who were present, and in contrast, the Lord Jesus manifested positive sensitivity. So quickly, the context here from verse 1, it tells us the chief priests and scribes, they are seeking to seize the Lord Jesus, to kill him. But in contrast here, in verse 3, it tells us there's this woman with this alabaster vial, very costly perfume of pure nard. She broke the vial, poured it over his head. But many were around, and other passages tells us, including the disciples, they were indignantly remarking to one another, why has this perfume been wasted? They are not really sensitive to the real meaning of what is taking place. They say, this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii, the money given to the poor, it sounds good, and it could be that some of them have actually genuine positive attitudes. And they were scolding her, positive in the sense that they care for the poor and they were thinking the money can be better used. If you sell this perfume rather than just pour it in the Lord Jesus in this way. But they were not sensitive, discerning to the true meaning of what was taking place. The beauty and the meaning, the rich, deep meaning of what the Lord Jesus was doing, or what the woman was doing. But Jesus said, so in contrast, but
let her alone. Why do you bother her? That means their conduct was not appropriate. She has done a good deed to me. What she has done is good, appropriate. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them, but you do not always have me. She has done what she could. What she has done is appropriate, and she has done what is feasible for her to do, and is good, is appropriate. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. Whether the woman fully understood what she was doing in terms of preparing the body of Lord Jesus for burial is not very clear, but it could be she had some understanding of that. But whatever it is, what she has done was with a positive heart of devotion to the Lord, and she understood that this was something appropriate to do, and it was suitable, it was fitting. An expression of the devotion of to the Lord Jesus, and it was also very appropriate in preparing him for the cross and the burial. And finally, notice the word of the Lord Jesus, truly I say to you. That means he has something very important to say. Wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. In contrast to others who are scolding her, the Lord Jesus says, what she has done is something very beautiful and very meaningful. Spiritual insight can also help us to remain calm in the midst of difficult or threatening situations. We have considered various assurances in the scriptures of how the Lord watches over us, cares for us, and so on. And in addition, spiritual insight. The scriptures shows one example of a situation, again, involving Elisha, where he was surrounded by a great army. Again, Gehazi was with him. Gehazi was very alarmed. But Elisha, because of his spiritual insight, he could see beyond the outward appearance of things, being surrounded by the great army. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 13 to 18. Just some quick, brief remarks. The king of Aram, he was enraged with Elisha, and he sent a great army to capture him. And verse 13 tells us he was told where Elisha was, in Dothan, and then he sent horses, chariots, and a great army. They came by night, surrounded the city, and the attendant of the man of God, verse 15, he saw this army with horses, chariots, and he says, alas, my master, what shall we do? Elisha replied, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. So when we are healthy, we are walking well with the Lord, we will not just be looking at the visible. We are able to discern, to recognize. Sometimes the Lord actually helps us to see quite clearly some of the things taking place in the spiritual realm. But beyond that, let us recognize there are also very clear assurances in the scriptures, which I referred to in earlier messages, on which we can take our stand and exercise true faith if we are walking well with the Lord. But in this instance, it's illustrated for us in pictorial form. Elisha prayed, and the servant's eyes were opened, and he could then see that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. That's in the spiritual realm. Not only that, Elisha prayed, strike these people with blindness, that is, the army. And they were struck with blindness. That is to say that all this, in the physical, visible realm, it may appear very overwhelming. But when we trust God, we pray to Him, He can undertake, and at times in very dramatic ways. So, brief concluding remarks. It is important for us to deal with negative sensitivities so that we are not adversely affected by the comments and conduct of people and situations we go through, and continue to maintain the posture of God in truth and going through all situations joyfully, maintaining our peace in the Lord, and most importantly, able to respond appropriately as the Lord desires of us. And that's what we must always concentrate upon. Response to God, His call, what He desires of us in each situation. And we must nurture the other side of it, the nurturing of the positive sensitivities. That is very important also. so that we are sensitive to people, their feelings, discern what is in their hearts, sensitive to situations, what is taking place, so that we may know how to be most effective in that situation. Learning to discern the reality, the true meaning of what is taking place, rather than what appears to be. And this includes learning to recognize, to discern the activities of the forces of darkness and their wiles, but most importantly, sensitive to God, which we must maintain at all times. Sensitive to God, to how the Lord looks at the situation and the issues involved. Not just how we look at it and trying to hear what others have to say, although there's a place for that. But ultimately, we must be concentrating on how God looks at the situation and what He has to say, what He's doing, what He wants accomplished, and then how He wants us to respond. Including also what the Lord may be speaking to us in terms of our own lives and what He wants us to learn for our own lives. So positive sensitivity goes together with a healthy spirit, good relationship with God, knowledge of the truth, a prayerful spirit, and a heart that truly cares. Let us now prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for reaching out to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, in your grace and love. Thank you for bringing us into your kingdom. And thank you for your high calling. Thank you for granting us a part in our working of our purposes. We pray that you will continue to teach us your ways. Help us to respond well to you, to be sensitive to what you desire to teach us, what you are speaking to us, saying to us, sensitive to your will in the different situations we go through, your guidance as to how we ought to respond to people. We know that none of us can say we have arrived. There's nothing more for us to learn. There's so many things that we are so many aspects that are lacking in our lives. So much to learn. Help us to remain humble in our walk with you, to be eager to learn from you, and even from remarks by others that may not be pleasant to the ears, and at times even rather hurting. And whether the remarks are true or not true, help us to respond well, to learn to benefit from the many situations you allow us to go through for our learning, and also many situations we go through that you want us to manifest the beauty of a life submitted to you and being transformed by your Spirit. There can be encouragement to others to draw nearer to you, to prepare their hearts for the to enter into the kingdom of God, and also be an encouragement to the lives of your children, that all of us who love you, our lives may indeed be an encouragement to one another. Thank you now for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine, and we ask that you will wash away our sins. Help us to deal with whatever is displeasing in your sight, and help us to learn to nurture positive qualities in our being, and to nurture positive sensitivities, so that more and more there may be a healthy spirit, good relationship with you, more and more able to discern the meaning of situations we go through and what is going on in the lives of others, and what is needful in a situation, and what you desire and require of us. For all this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.